We are in the midst of a gold rush, with prospectors racing to train their AIs and their users to improve the way we do business, serve citizens, enhance our personal lives and our society, and to make a whole lot of money. So governments are taking notice. Looking at this massive AI, it seems clear that smart, well-reasoned AI regulation will be necessary. But what and how much? The answer will affect privacy, public trust, national security, economic prosperity, and more. So, you know, no pressure. Hi, I'm Ken Fedett, and this is the NTrust Cybersecurity Institute podcast. To delve into these depths of emerging AI regulatory efforts around the globe, we are joined by two of our own experts. The first is Stephanie Durduri, Vice President, Security Governance, Risk, and Compliance at NTrust. Thank you for being here, Stephanie.
Thank you, Ken.
And joining Stephanie is Jenny Carmichael, Vice President of Compliance for NTrust. Welcome, Jenny.
Hi, Ken. Thank you.
So there's a lot of conversation about AI and concerns about the risks, whether it's concerns about AI being used in facial recognition to concerns about this brand new generative AI that is everywhere today. Jenny, can you help us understand where the conversations are and what this landscape looks like?
Sure. I think, you know, from a legislative perspective, it seems like legislators are very focused on the potential for misuse of AI systems for things like mass surveillance or discrimination, that sort of thing. You see the conversation around like biometric identification systems and this sort of fear that we'll all be living in 1984 soon enough. I think, you know, the social conversation seems to be more around the risks of using generative AI and not fact-checking. You know, people sort of putting things into a generative AI tool and not being mindful of the fact that whatever they put into that tool becomes public information, and companies really wanting to safeguard their safeguard, you know, their confidential proprietary information. And then likewise, the outputs of those systems, making sure that users check, that they, you know, they verify what's coming out of the tool, and they're not just sort of relying on it and running with that. I know there have been a lot of conversations too about people worrying that they'll be displaced by AI systems. I don't actually think that will be the case. I do think the nature of work could change and jobs might look different. But in general, I think what AI systems will largely do is help us become more efficient, not take us out of the equation completely.
So Jenny, well, we're not going to like go into our own business here in depth, but you know, we are in the space of identity. So just thinking about the use of biometrics, which are, you know, sort of inherently driven by AI, you know, how do you see the use of biometrics in verifying identities?
Yeah, I think there are great advantages to using biometric verification tools. You know, namely being, for example, you used to have to walk into a bank if you wanted to open an account or conduct certain financial transactions. And now with biometric verification tools, you can do that from an application on your phone. And, you know, if you think about it, there are a lot of people who have trouble have transportation issues or just issues getting to a bank branch or, you know, that kind of technology. We think of it as creating efficiencies and ease of use, but it also has the advantage of helping people who have certain limitations or restrictions on movement and enables us to bring services to them versus them having to get to a particular, you know, physical location.
That's a really good point, Jenny. I think it's really easy to lose sight of the tremendous value that we can have from generative AI technologies and even in the space of biometrics, where we're limiting the effort that's needed to actually obtain certain services and functions, be it access to banking, be it healthcare services, be it federal services. And we're removing barriers that used to be there, either physically or electronically, that now enable us to have a better experience overall. And it lifts everybody, and especially folks that have been excluded previously. So this is a fantastic outcome that we're striving for, and this is the sort of outcome that I think with the right thought processes and our design and our development of AI generative technologies, we can make a reality and is already a growing reality with services and technology today.
That absolutely makes sense. What does that mean in terms of the direction that lawmakers around the world are heading? Stephanie, maybe you can tell us what you understand about some of the specific kinds of risks that policymakers are actually concerned about.
Thanks, Ken. Well, I think policymakers are mostly concerned about negative outcomes, such as exacerbating the magnitude of certain failures to critical infrastructure, the loss of productivity for companies due to cyber attacks, disruption of individuals and lives based on the proliferation of maybe fake or compromised personal information, privacy violations. These sound like really big things. And it brings us back to thinking about, well, what is responsible use of AI and what does that actually mean? And I'd just like to put out here that responsible AI is really figuring out how we use this technology to best enable positive outcomes, be it ethical, social, and economic. I think that risk management plays a big component of that in that it enables us to manage and be thoughtful about our design and our development and our use, given what Jenny had just shared. And I think that there's an opportunity here to use risk management and regulation to help us get much more comfortable with being able to trust the AI systems and the services that it can provide, which at the end of the day is what we're striving for, because that's really going to be the game changer for our entire industry and our world. And we need to be able to take on and absorb those positive impacts while mitigating the less positive outcomes that we just shared.
Yeah, I think the challenge sometimes is, sort of who gets to decide what's positive and what isn't, right?
Absolutely. Well, this is where I think that the development of this technology was going to require a conversation, a social conversation that maybe we didn't have 20 years ago with the advancement of social media. We didn't realize what impacts we would have from that we're now experiencing today, like the proliferation of maybe misinformation or exaggerated information. And so now we need to step back and realize, looking at some of these lessons learned that we have from current technologies and technologies now that are still evolving, and try to avoid some of the pitfalls that we see and we experience.
Yeah, absolutely. The social media quandary kind of comes to mind around this. You mentioned misinformation, and it seems like there's a lot of anxiety right now, especially with the U.S. elections, the U.S. presidential elections coming up this year, about misinformation and how AI might exacerbate that. You know, is regulation required to protect election integrity?
In general, I think that regulation supports the responsible design and use of AI systems. And in general, yes, this is what we need to have the trustworthiness and the public trust in these systems. But what's interesting is that these elections are happening now, and regulation takes time to develop and to roll out and to experience. So generating regulation is the long-term game that drives us in a more appropriate and manageable and safe direction. But these elections and things that are happening today aren't able to take advantage of some of those benefits of regulation. So this is a situation where it's really important to understand what our risks are now, because at a minimum, we can be prepared, which is going to help us significantly in being able to identify when some of these risks are being realized. So, for example, being able to tag whether a picture is false or a video is false, and our ability and our capabilities within the industry to do that are essential and paramount. And that's really what we need to be focused on. In addition to focusing on how do we have regulation that protects us long term so we can have a sustainable system.
So how is this discussion touching on cybersecurity and privacy?
Well, with respect to security, on a macro level, we cannot rest on our assumptions. We have to train ourselves and our people not to trust emails, not to trust text messages. We have to come from the perspective of potentially we have been breached. This is a zero trust mindset. This is the having the security mindset. This is going a level deeper than we've ever gone before. And AI is driving us to have to make that leap. It's really emphasizing our need for critical thinking, something that also is super challenging when you have so much information in front of you. And it's really putting an emphasis on that, so we're not just assuming that we have the right information or the emails or the analysis is done correctly, but we have to double check. You know, on a micro level, it's forcing us to get really good at things that we are getting better at as the days tick along, such as detecting fraud, be it fake images and IDs, or identifying anomalies in our data and our processes and our information flow.
Yeah, this is both a technological and people challenge, right?
Yeah. And Jenny, what do you think about privacy? How does this impact you?
Yeah, I think you really can't separate AI from the conversation around privacy. So, you know, privacy legislation has always been around, you know, protecting our data and information that belongs to us and, you know, can and should be used for certain reasons, but we have a right to know how it's being used and where it's being stored, how long it's being kept, that sort of thing. With AI, we have algorithms essentially making decisions that impact our lives. And I think the underlying concern is the same, protecting us as individuals, protecting our data, protecting us from decision making that could have harmful effects if those decisions aren't based on accurate, reliable information. And so I think, you know, sort of unsurprisingly, the EU has really been at the forefront of this conversation around AI regulation, and they were at the forefront of the conversation around data privacy as well. And I've seen a lot in the proposed EU AI Act that really mimics what you see in the GDPR in terms of protections for individuals around the use of AI or tools that process our personal data.
And these seem like really, you know, laudable efforts. Do you see any unanticipated consequences from some of these regulations?
I think, you know, we sort of touched on it before, but the most important thing, I think, in coming up with these regulations is to stay agile and flexible. And lawmakers will have to keep that in mind. These regulations should serve as a starting point in some sense, but they should adapt and evolve as we learn where the risk landscape is with respect to AI systems. And we've already talked about and identified some of those risks. They're known. But much like social media, there were things that we sort of never anticipated when social media first came on the scene that we know about now in terms of the potential for misuse. And the same will exist here. And we'll have to be willing to pivot from a regulatory perspective. All of us will have to be nimble as this evolves.
Absolutely. I'm interested in talking a little bit more. You mentioned some risks, and you know, some people say there's risks in regulating AI. Is it too soon to be thinking about regulating AI, or are we already too late? Stephanie, what do you think?
I do not think we are too late. and let's talk about what these risks are to regulation. Are we saying the risk of regulation is that maybe we'll slow progress? And I really don't see that happening at all. I think that, if anything, we're seeing tremendous progress and tremendous innovation. And then there's the, you know, is it the risk of potential cost investment of standing up new standards or having, you know, federal agencies and pay attention to critical infrastructure? Now, these seem like meaningful guardrails that would support us, not hold us back. And I just wonder if We need to think about this a little differently, and it's not an either or, but it's an and. We want to innovate and we need these guardrails so that we can see the true value and have the true impact that we need from the generative AI capabilities and systems that they can augment.
So it seems like you come down firmly on the side that AI regulation is not counter to AI innovation. One of the things people talk a lot about is, how are we going to make sure that our guardrails are wide enough that we're making sure domestic innovation can happen so that we don't cede AI leadership to another country, or even worse, to the criminals who have no regulation or rule of law that they recognize at all. What are the risks and rewards that we need to look at?
As I was sharing a moment ago, I think that regulation actually helps us stay on course to meet the opportunity that AI systems and capabilities provide. And so by using responsible and well thought through regulation to aid in our advancement, we are going to keep pace with the world. In fact, I think that this is a way of leading the world by through example. But I also think that the frameworks that we're using for regulation right now are not hyper prescriptive. There is some flexibility in there. It is pretty reasonable. And this is potentially a lesson learned that we in the security side have taken from some of the other challenges we've had, where now certain things are regulated so hard, it's very expensive to maintain. I don't see the same requirements and enforcement coming down yet from the regulation that are going to put us in a bind. I actually see it the other way.
I think it's also we have to play offense and defense, right? So, we want to leverage these systems. We want to leverage this technology. There's a lot of efficiency to be gained from the use of AI. But at the same time, we have to think about how to protect ourselves from bad actors who might be able to leverage this same technology for nefarious reasons. And so at the same time that we're sort of regulating the responsible development and use of AI, I think we also have to be thinking about building in security protections for ourselves, guardrails for ourselves around the use of AI to protect our IP, to protect privacy rights, to ensure that our systems and our infrastructure stay secure.
As we go along in this discussion, Gartner is predicting that at least half of the governments worldwide will be enforcing the use of responsible AI through regulations or policies by 2026. So, how do you see us getting from here to there? And just for reference, in the U.S., the last time Congress passed major technology regulation was in 1996, and we can all kind of remember the screech of modems that we used to access the internet back then. How do we get from here to there, and how do we think, with that long-term point of view?
I think this is going to look a lot like what we saw with data privacy, and we already sort of discussed the how privacy and AI really complement each other. But I think whoever's the first to pass major legislation, and it looks like just like with data privacy and the GDPR, it'll be the EU again. That will set the standard and the benchmark for legislation that's passed by other countries. We saw that with the GDPR, sort of the gold standard. All of the other emerging data privacy legislation has looked substantially equivalent with some, minor tweaks or differences. I think we'll see the same thing again with the EU AI Act, passing and becoming sort of the gold standard, and all other follow-on legislation looking very similar. At least I hope that's how it turns out, so that we all kind of have a general roadmap to build our compliance frameworks around that requires, relatively little adjustment, as we see more and more proliferation of regulation from other countries. To your point about the US, I'm not optimistic that we will see federal legislation around AI from the US anytime soon. But we have seen a lot of very good guidance around management of AI frameworks come out of the White House and also NIST. So I know just for ourselves, we've not only looked at emerging regulation, but we've looked at a lot of the guidance that's come out from different countries, even if it's not in the form of a proposed regulation per se.
So Jenny, what are some of the key features that stand out to you from the EU and the White House regulation that you see?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is around responsible design and development. So really thinking at the outset about what the system's meant to do, you know, how you're feeding information into the system, thinking about those issues around bias, the potential for bias with the system itself. I think also transparency is key, making sure that people who are leveraging AI systems know what the system is doing with the information they're putting into it, what kinds of decisions are being generated. A key aspect of the EU AI Act that sort of moves you from prohibited to permitted uses of AI systems is having a human somewhere in the decision-making chain. So just giving people some kind of recourse if there is a negative decision or determination made by the system that impacts them, they have somewhere to go with that to appeal that decision. But a lot of the components in the EU AI Act feel very similar to me to the ones that we see in equivalent data privacy legislation, that having a lawful basis for what you're doing, thinking about responsible use at the outset of design and development, transparency and notice to users, and then giving people certain rights.
Those are good points, Jenny. And I think that what stands out to me is the responsible use of AI, and realizing that it is something that's hyper-focused on in the EU, in the guidelines that have come out from the White House, in things that are coming out from the various states within the country. And I want to double down on just saying that I think responsible use of AI means that we're enabling the best outcomes, and risk management and regulation enables responsible use of AI. And so, again, if our goal is the best outcome, the best ethical, social, economic outcome, then it's not an either or, it's an and. And I think there is room for both, and we have to be careful about thinking that regulation is one thing when it's not a limiter. It's a booster for where we need to go.
So I want to let you guys, you know, maybe share some final thoughts. What should leaders be thinking about or looking for, you know, as they're, you know, making decisions about their organizations going forward? Jenny, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, I think that we've talked a lot about the potential for harm from AI systems, but there is a lot of good to be gained from using this technology. And I don't think we should be afraid of that. It's a largely, you know, it's a new emerging area, but it's an exciting area that has a lot of benefits and potential for all of us. I think we just need to move cautiously. We need to move carefully, and we need to move thoughtfully. I think, you know, in addition to what we see come out in terms of regulation in this space, I think we also need to keep ourselves honest, you know, as users of these systems, as developers of these systems. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see if there's sort of a voluntary code of conduct that emerges at any point around developing AI, that's more prescriptive than anything that we would find in a piece of legislation, just sort of regulating the use more broadly. But I think all of us, from, you know, governments who are looking to legislate in this area, those of us who are developing the tech, and those of us who are using the tech, we just all need to be mindful as we move forward and listen to one another.
Stephanie, I'll give you the last word.
Sure. I think it's going to be important to really be thoughtful of the risks that this presents. There's going to be plenty of outcomes, both good and bad. We can even see some of the bad outcomes. We have a little bit of what we've seen from other technologies and advancements that foreshadow that we're going to have trouble with things like misinformation or getting it right. But I don't think that's a reason to be afraid. I think it's something that we have to endure and grow through. And I think the benefits, when you really look at it, really outweigh the risks. Regulation helps us, safeguards will help us to realize the benefits, mitigate those risks. And so my message is not to be afraid of this, but to embrace this and to learn about this, to experiment, and to keep an open conversation with others in the industry so that there isn't a fear or there isn't a limitation that you're creating for yourself about how this can be used or how we can make things better.
Makes sense. And thank you both. Thank you, Jenny. Thank you, Stephanie, for being here and sharing your insights with our audience. And thanks to all of you who are listening. Our podcast was produced by Stephen Damone. If you like what you hear, I do encourage you to rate and review the podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, we'd love to hear from you as always. You can email your opinions and ideas to us at cybersecurityinstitute@ntrust.com. And again, thank you for listening.